Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Again, I just want to thank Zach and Jeff for their preaching the past couple Sundays, and Richard and his work in the service as well, and Richard and Roy helping out lead Bible studies on Friday nights. Thank God for you guys. Mark chapter 4, and beginning at verse 35, and I know Jeff touched on this a little bit last week, but we're going to kind of take a slower walk through. Jeff kind of gave you the big picture of what's coming in chapter 4 and chapter 5 and how it all hangs together, and now we're going to kind of walk through paying a closer attention to detail a little bit more. So Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your ministry to us in our midst today. As we come before your word, we pray that you would speak afresh to us. Help us to hear you, to receive you, be changed by you for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Well, it's a story that maybe you've heard before, maybe you've read it in children's books before, to children's Bible stories, that type of thing. But I want to just point out a few things in the story, kind of tell the story, focus on some aspects of it that I think we really need to think about, maybe wrestle with today. First of all, I want you to realize that there are experienced fishermen in the boat. We know that Jesus called people who had given their lives to fishing to be his disciples. That he met them on the shore, tending their nets, taking care of their boats, going about their business. And Jesus said, "Come follow me." We're pretty certain that Jesus didn't own a boat. That when Jesus is teaching in a boat along the shore, and the people are gathered up there on the shore, and he's in the boat, we're pretty sure that that's a borrowed boat. That Jesus was not a fisherman by trade. Jesus didn't grow up in a fisherman's house or household. And so here Jesus is in somebody else's boat, and he's in the company of fishermen. Likely one of them owned the boat. And they're on the lake. And they're going to the other side, and a storm comes up. We think that this boat was probably somewhere around 25, 27 feet long. Maybe about 7 feet wide. And that it really didn't have very steep sides, because they would cast their nets off to the side and haul their catch in that way. And Jesus is with guys who have spent their lives on this lake fishing. And the storm comes up. And these guys knew storms. It was not uncommon on that lake for storms to come up. And the storm comes up, and these guys are used to storms coming up on the lake. They've given their lives to fishing. They've been out there probably about every day of their life. And they're scared to death. This is a storm like they haven't seen before. This is a storm that they're not sure they're going to make it through. Now think about that for a moment. Very familiar with the lake. Been through all kinds of storms. This one, they are scared to death. And their response to Jesus is, "Don't you care? Is it of no concern to you that we're going to drown? That we're going to be destroyed? That the waves are so violent, the wind is so fierce, that it's going to sweep over, sink the boat, and they're going to be lost." And what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. Now just let that sink in for it. Do you see how upside down that is? Who ought not to be afraid? Well, in one sense, it's the guys who have been out there. And what that tells me is the seriousness of the storm. If it was just a little storm, if it was just the sea tossing back and forth some, if it was something that was going to blow over, these guys would not be in a panic. Maybe the guy who hasn't been fishing very much is in a panic, but not the guys who are used to it. So it tells me something about the intensity of what has come up. But it also tells me something about Jesus. That he's there asleep in the midst of it. We'll talk about that more in a moment. And so here's where the story goes. They wake Jesus up, and Jesus speaks to the wind, speaks to the waves, silences them, calms them, and asks the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith?" And the disciples make this statement at the end. It's kind of a question, kind of a statement. Who is this guy? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is he? Well, if we've been reading along, we know who he is. We know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We know that Jesus has all authority and power. We know that Jesus reigns. The disciples in the boat with Jesus, they don't know that yet. They've gotten in the boat with Jesus. They follow Jesus. They're with Jesus. They're seeing him do some pretty amazing stuff. But they still don't get who he is yet. And so when Jesus does this miracle, they're stuck with the question, who is this? Never seen anybody like him before. Never seen anybody who could command the wind and the sea. And there's obedience. There's calm. There's still. Notice that Jesus isn't like us. We had somebody today pray for kind of an end to this heat wave. Notice that Jesus doesn't pray out to God, "Oh God, please calm the sea. Oh God, please stop the wind from blowing." See, Jesus is different from us at that point. Jesus just speaks directly to it. Be calm. Stop. Silence. And it has to obey. What we're getting here is a witness, a window into who Jesus is. Okay, are you with me on that? This happening, this story, is giving us a window into who Jesus is and the authority of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the relationship of Jesus to creation. That creation bows down before him. That creation listens to his voice. That creation, wind and waves, things that are beyond human control, have to stop and listen to Jesus. We're getting a window, a testimony, a witness as to who Jesus is. Now, that is not a prescription for how Jesus must act. And we also need to hear that this morning. That the miracle gives us a testimony as to who Jesus is, but it does not give us a prescription for how Jesus is forced to act. Here's what I'm getting at. Jesus doesn't calm every wind. Jesus doesn't put an end to every tossing sea. He has the authority over the wind and the sea. He has the power to speak, and all nature will listen. But he doesn't always give that order. He is not prescribed to give that order. And I think sometimes we read a story like this about Jesus, and we begin to think that Jesus has to act that way. That Jesus has to heal every time, that Jesus has to bring in peace to every storm. And that's not Jesus. The window is, the testimony is that Jesus has power over it, but it's not a prescription for what Jesus must do. You may be thinking of examples in your own life. Let me share an example or two from Scripture. The Apostle Paul, Mac read us the last couple of verses from the book of Acts, talks about how Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul was locked up. He was in prison, in Rome, continuing his preaching ministry. Do you know how he ended up actually in Rome? Part of it was a shipwreck where the wind didn't stop blowing and the waves didn't stop breaking in on the boat. But in the midst of the shipwreck, in the midst of the tossing sea, Jesus was yet with Paul. And Jesus used the shipwreck to bring Paul to Rome and to continue Paul's ministry of preaching the gospel. See, what I want you to see is that the wisdom of Jesus goes beyond our understanding. And Jesus has power over wind, has power over waves, has power over storms. And sometimes Jesus is going to speak a word that brings calm and stillness, and the storm stops. And sometimes he's not. But always, he's with us. And always he redeems and uses for his glory. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians, he will talk to them about how he's been shipwrecked many times. That God doesn't always stop the wind from blowing. But even in the midst of the shipwrecks, God is with him and using him for glory. So I want us to be careful that as we read this, that we don't force it into something that it's not. That we don't change it from a witness to the power of Jesus and the character of Jesus that gets us thinking about who Jesus is. That we don't change it from that to some type of prescription as to how Jesus must act. Okay. I also want you to recognize with this, Jesus isn't troubled by the wind and the waves. He is sleeping undisturbed. The wind's blowing, the waves are crashing in on the boat, and Jesus isn't disturbed. The disciples are going crazy. They're fearful. They think it's the end. Jesus is sleeping. And when Jesus wakes up, what's he disturbed about? Not the wind and the waves. Their lack of faith. Jesus is disturbed not about the circumstances, but about the lack of faith among the disciples. Why are you so afraid? Do you still not get it? Do you still not believe? Kind of makes you pause. What's Jesus disturbed about regarding us? Is Jesus disturbed about our circumstances? Or Jesus disturbed about us and our lack of faith, our lack of trust, our lack of really getting it that he's sovereign? His will's going to be done. He's going to work things for his glory. He's going to get us to the other side. So just kind of tuck that away. Jesus, undisturbed by the wind and the waves, as great as they are, Jesus' concern, what Jesus finds disturbing, is where the disciples are at. You know what we're seeing about the disciples here? That they're not good soil yet. Remember the parable? About the farmer who goes out to sow and the seed falls on four kinds of soil. Hard path, shallow soil, soil that has thorns and thistles growing up in it, and good soil. And the seed that is thrown in the shallow soil, it springs up to life, but then what happens? When the hard times come, when the sun comes out, when things get a little hot, it wilts. Doesn't have much life to it. The seed that's sown among the soil that has thorns growing in it, it grows. But it kind of gets choked out. Where are the disciples at here? They've had the faith to leave the crowd. They leave the crowds behind. They're in the boat. They're with Jesus going to them. That they have faith. It's taken root. But they're not where they need to be yet. It's not good soil. And so that when the storm comes up, when the wind's blowing, the waves are crashing in, there's not much fruit yet. And they're tempted to cry out. And Jesus is disturbed. The soil isn't what he wants yet of their lives. We see them on this journey that we see in the parable. Now, I want us to look at a few more details of the story here. There are a number of phrases in here that as I read this, they just kind of keep echoing in my mind. And the first one that really echoes over and over and over again is this phrase, the other side. Jesus says, let us go to the other side. Now, there's some things we need to think about with this. First of all, he's talking about, let's go to the other side of the lake. But what we don't pick up on, unless we kind of read further into chapter 5, who's on the other side? Where is the other side? Well, when Jesus gets to the other side, who is waiting for him? A demon-possessed man who lived among graves in a graveyard, who has self-destructive behavior, and there's a bunch of pigs there too. Now, what does that tell you? One of the things it tells you is that the other side really is the other side. And by that I mean Jesus is on a Jewish side of the lake, and they're going to the other side, which is a Gentile side of the lake. There are pigs there. Jews don't raise pigs. They don't eat pigs. And Preston would say they don't get big either. Kind of a men's breakfast joke. But the point is, the other side is really the other side. And it's not simply the other side in terms of Jews and Gentiles, and we don't eat pigs, but they raise pigs, they eat pigs, etc. But it's also the other side in terms of those people are heathens. They're pagans. They don't worship our God. They're lost. They're evil. They'll contaminate us. And especially this guy that lives in a graveyard. Death over there. And Jesus says, let's get into the boat and let's go over to the other side. Other side has to do with mission, has to do with ministry. Let's go over to the other side and sow the seed there too. Proclaim the gospel there. The kingdom comes there on the other side, not just on our side. And I think we need to pick up on that. That Jesus isn't going to keep God's kingdom on just one little side of the lake. He's going to the other side with the disciples to bring the kingdom, to cast out demons there as well. God's reign comes on the other side through Jesus, just like it comes on this side. What do we need to hear in that? If we're going to be faithful disciples, we need to be about going to other sides. We need to think about ways and be open to hear the voice of Jesus say, come on, let's go to the other side. Here's a group of people where the seed needs to be sown. Let's go to the other side. Let's sow the seed there. Yeah, they might not know about me, but I reign. They need to hear that good news. Let's go to the other side. And so we need to be engaged in listening to Jesus, to His direction, to go to the other side, to sow that kingdom message that Jesus reigns. Even if the other side is different. Even if the other side really is other. The other side. And so, one expression of listening to Jesus and going to the other side, a group that we're not real connected with, is that when school starts, we're going to start opening the church up in the mornings for kind of some breakfast, some coffee, to the kids that wait on the corner to catch the bus at 6 in the morning to go off to high school. Amy is kind of hearing the voice of Jesus saying, let's go to the other side. That here's a group of kids in the neighborhood that are kind of on the other side of us. And we don't see them coming in on Friday nights. Not very many of them. We see them around, but we haven't crossed. And so in listening to that voice, hey, here are kids. Here's a population. I'm calling you to kind of sow the seed to the other side. We're going to start opening the church doors up about 5:45 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning when school starts, right after Labor Day. And we'll have some decaf coffee. Don't want them to be too wired at school. Maybe some oatmeal, whatever we can kind of scrounge up. And we'll have some Christian music playing, and we'll have some type of a 5-minute devotional, maybe 2-minute devotional, to kind of get their hearts and heads together for a new day. And to begin to sow the seed to people who are yet on the other side. And see, that's the kind of stuff that we need to be engaged in terms of listening to Jesus calling us to the other side. Because the good news of Jesus' reign needs to be sown there. And sometimes it's the other side in terms of people in your own neighborhood. Sometimes it's the other side in terms of people across the sea. But to listen to Jesus. Now, we'll go a little bit further. It's really interesting to me that on the other side, and you know, again, kind of going with the big picture that I'm sure Jeff dealt with last week. But you have a man who lives among the tombs. Self-destructive pathway to death. I mean, he's already got his home there. You have a woman who is bleeding to death. Spent everything she's had on doctors. Is she getting better? No, she's getting worse. And then you have a little girl who actually dies. The other side. Again, this phrase, the other side, sometimes we think about the other side and crossing the rivers of death. And here is Jesus taking his disciples to the other side. He reigns on that side as well as this side. And we might need to hear that today. That Jesus reigns on this side and that side. And as we follow Jesus, as we get in this boat with Him, He's not concerned about the storm of death. He just wants us to have faith in Him. That He will carry us to the other side. When He's in the boat with us, He'll take care of us to the other side. So I tell you, that phrase, the other side, just carries all kinds of weight. The more I think about it, the more it just kind of echoes back and forth. We have this sense of mission, this sense of from this life to that life, the other side. Another thing that I can't get away from with this. They were doing everything Jesus asked them to do. They're there with His teaching. They're with Him. he says, let's go to the other side. They're in the boat. They're on board with that. And what happens? A life-threatening storm. Now, I don't know about you, but my tendency is to think that if I'm in obedience to Jesus, if I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do, if I'm in the boat with Jesus, that it's going to be smooth sailing. And I kind of expect that. I expect that when I'm living on my own, it's going to be very rough. But if I get in the boat with Jesus, if I've left the crowd behind, if I'm going where Jesus wants me to go, then it's going to be smooth sailing. I mean, are you there? Have you been there? Am I the only one that's like that? And yet what happens? A storm comes up. And I guess the thing I want us to make sure that we are aware of is that following Jesus, listening to Jesus, getting in the boat with Jesus, obeying Jesus, even going where Jesus wants to go, is not a promise that life is going to be storm-free. And we just need to hear that and know that. The disciples are shocked that a storm is coming up of such magnitude that they really feel threatened. And yet Jesus isn't disturbed about it at all. Sometimes the storms come up precisely because we listen to Jesus. And we may expect smooth sailing, but there will be storms when we're with Jesus. And sometimes the storms come up precisely because we're going to the other side. That any time you begin to go to the other side, it's going to get stormy along the way. And so just realize that as you follow Jesus, as you listen to Jesus, as you obey Jesus, that's no promise that there won't be storms. You can almost flip it and recognize that there are going to be storms. Now here's the thing that the disciples did right. The storm drives them from their own know-how to Jesus. You see that? Here we have fishermen, guys who have spent their lives on this lake, who know this lake, who know their gear, and the storm drives them to Jesus. The storm has created in them a recognition that for this storm, they are inadequate. And they cry out, "Teacher, is it of no concern to you that we're about to drown?" They are at their end, and it drives them to Jesus. Do you think they turned to Jesus when the wind picked up a little bit? Do you think they turned to Jesus when the waves started to roll or it got a little bit choppy? But the storm was so fierce that it turned them away from themselves and to Jesus. And in the storms that we face, whether it's storms that because it's just life, whether it's storms because we're really taking serious this kind of mission of Jesus to the other side, and the storms are in opposition to that, whatever the storms, we need to pick up on what the disciples are doing here and allow the storm to drive us to Jesus instead of away from Jesus. Now, here's Jesus sleeping, undisturbed by the storm. And we see his authority over the wind and the sea. He is at peace, even when everything's blowing around him. And the language that gets used here is raising language. They raise Jesus from his sleep. Chapter 5, Jesus is going to raise a little girl from her sleep. It's the same words. There it's a raising from the sleep of death. And I think what we're getting here, and it's just very subtle, but it's starting to lean us into the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's starting to lean us into Jesus' authority over not just wind and sea, but over death itself. And what it's leaning us into is the victory of Jesus over death. It's leading us into the truth that Jesus reigns. And that God's kingdom, God's reign, God's putting things right comes through Jesus. And it's going to come through His death and through His resurrection. And so again, the story is a testimony to us that Jesus does reign. That all authority and power belongs to Him. God's kingdom comes through Him. God puts things right through Him. And that's the news that they're taking to the other side to sow. That's the news for that demon-possessed man. Jesus reigns. And He comes to set you free and to liberate you from these demons that have took you down a path of self-destruction. And that's the news that we go to the other side with. That's why we dare go to the other side. Jesus doesn't just reign here, He reigns there. And it's good news there, just like it's good news here. So, kind of ending this thing. Plug in with the disciples. How deeply do you believe? Is Jesus disturbed about our believing or the lack thereof? If we really believe, we embrace the other side and the mission to go. And if we really believe, in the midst of the storms, we're anchored by the understanding, by the conviction that Jesus does reign. And no matter how much opposition we might face, no matter how many shipwrecks we might go through, that Jesus reigns, and that truth, that word, is going to go forth unhindered, just like we heard about in Acts. And He is victorious. His kingdom comes. I'd like for us to stand together and to take communion. And as we take communion, I would like for you to reflect on a couple of things. I'm going to have our worship band come. And I'd like for them to sing the song, "Lead Us In, He Never Lets Go." Jesus didn't let go of the disciples. Jesus didn't say, "You guys don't believe in me, out of the boat." Okay? He doesn't let go. He takes us where we're at. He might get a little bit disturbed about where we're at, but He doesn't forsake us in where we're at. And He keeps working with us to cultivate deeper and deeper faith. And so as we take communion, as we sing the song, as we reflect on the word, just consider that. Jesus doesn't let go. But how does Jesus feel about my faith? Is He disturbed? Am I really there? And I invite you to just respond to how Jesus is speaking to you during this time of communion. So as they sing, please come, receive the bread, receive the cup, return to your seats, we'll take communion together.